Look who's back. I'd like to say I know a little bit more about what's going on, but I really don't. Just when it happens, it happens. So I appreciate all the prayers and well wishes. It's good to see everyone here this morning. We're behind, so I encourage you to come back tonight, because we'll continue this series tonight and finish it up next Sunday. Running out of time in the year to say everything, I guess, that I have planned to say. I'm thankful that over this last little bit that it's been revealed to me some of the things that I've just taken for granted, some things that I've had my whole life, and it's the way that it's always been, and I've never had the opportunity, sort of that it's a wonderful life moment to see and feel what it would be like without some of those things. And as comfortable or as uncomfortable as that might be, it can also be an incredible gift for us to realize and to have shown us things that we take for granted. And one of the things that I took for granted over the last couple of years is togetherness. And when that was taken away from us, when it was just that skeleton crew of us here when COVID hit last year, that kind of hit me right between the eyes when we had like five of us here singing. All of us singing together is such a blessing. It was such a revelation over the last year and a half, and I'm so thankful for my eyes being open to some of that stuff. So even though I appreciated the singing then, I so much more appreciate the singing now that more people have been coming back, and I know that will be even more so as the building gets more full. I think it's still important for us to be aware of those who are feeling isolated. Be aware of those who are seeking encouragement, because again, what we will remember about this time and through this time is how we treated each other, how we expressed our thanksgiving for each other, how we expressed our love to and for each other. We've been talking in November about Thanksgiving, about gratitude. So how is that going for you? We're over two-thirds through. I've had several share with me things that they are grateful for, people they are grateful for. I've seen some people post online. I think you need to encourage people. That's a good way of doing that, and share with people something for which you are thankful. Maybe you've taken for granted this in the past, and now you realize how thankful for you are for that person or whatever it is, that thing that it is you're thankful for. Because as I've said over the last few sermons, the world needs to hear the church give thanks, because we are good news people. That's the thing that every one of us in this room, or most of us in this room, have in common. There are so many things that we are different about, but what we have in common is that we are good news people. We have been changed by the good news of Jesus Christ. We have been united with God through the good news of Jesus Christ. This is who we are. This is our identity. We are good news people, and the world needs to hear us give good thanks for that good news. Psalm 95 is where we're going to be looking at tonight, or tomorrow. Let's try that again. Psalms 95 is where we're going to look at today. Psalms 100 is where we're going to look at tonight. This is going to be an invitation to give thanks, an invitation to come together and sing. The psalmist says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." There's at least four things there that the psalmist invites us to do. Number one is to sing to the Lord. We get to do that this morning, but it's not just when we gather together. Maybe those who watch online, I've been told of families who do their own singing and then watch online, but we have here this constant daily invitation: come, whatever is going on, come and sing to the Lord. This is, again, a constant invitation that's being extended to each and every one of us. Come, let us sing to the Lord. I know this is going on. I know you have these plans, but come, let us sing to the Lord. And I think you'll find it's amazing what it does for us. It's amazing what it does for us individually, and what it does for us also collectively. When we spend time responding to that invitation to come and sing to the Lord. And then he says to make joyful noise. And I've always sort of thought that was just a general thing, like a noise. But the Hebrew word is specific. It's an enthusiastic shout, almost like a battle cry. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout out loud. Let us joyfully shout. Three is give thanks, and four, sing songs of praise. We've been saying this whole series, that giving thanks is good. But I also want us to stop this morning and think about why that is true. And one of the reasons why I think that's true is because praise completes enjoyment. I've shared a quote with C.S. Lewis before, but I think it's a very true idea, and one we need to stop and realize that praise completes enjoyment. C.S. Lewis said, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation." That's a lot of words, but what C.S. Lewis is saying is that praise, thanksgiving, gratitude, it doesn't just express our enjoyment, it completes it. That you haven't really finished enjoying something until you verbalize that, until you say, "I enjoyed that. Wasn't that amazing? Wasn't that good?" And that's true about so many things. When you eat a good meal and you enjoy it, it's almost part of the enjoyment to say, "Man, that meal was so good." And if you don't have anybody to say that to, it's almost like the enjoyment is cut a little bit short. How about this trend of dad jokes? As a dad, I kind of feel insulted, but really as a poor man's comedian, I'm very insulted. But dad jokes mean it's something that's so corny that it's not really funny, but I guess if the shoe fits, maybe. But these dad jokes, and people tell each other, and the goal is for the listener to not laugh. So you kind of have this competition of really terrible jokes. But really, when you hear a funny joke, laughing is part of enjoying it. Laughing doesn't merely express the enjoyment of the joke. It completes the enjoyment of the joke. And the same is true when praising God. We haven't really enjoyed God. Our enjoyment of God and all that he has given us isn't really complete until we express it. We give thanks. We give praise. So praise doesn't just express it. It's how we enjoy it. There's one other thing that I'd like for us to consider. That praise also desires company. This whole psalm is an invitation to come. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Not just me sing, but us sing. And we say misery loves company, and that's true. When you are miserable, we want somebody else to suffer with us. And is there anything more irritating when you're miserable and nobody will empathize with you and you just want to complain? And all that person will do is smile and listen, and they won't complain with you? That's no good. Misery loves company. We want to spread it. And that's exactly what we do. But not only does misery love company, but praise loves company. Gratitude loves company. Thanksgiving loves company. Imagine how different our world would be if we invited people to share in our thanksgiving instead of inviting them to share in our misery. That's what this psalm does. This psalm invites us to share in thanksgiving, invites us to share in praise, whereas that pushes back against our natural inclination to invite people to share in our misery. There's always something to be miserable about. There's always something we can complain about, and our natural tendency is to invite people to come and be miserable with us. Come, share in our misery. It feels good sometimes, doesn't it, to empathize with each other and say, "Yes, I can't believe how rotten that is either. I hate that too." There might be a time and a place for that, but so much more so, we need to invite one another to share in our thanksgiving, to share in our praise, to share in our gratitude, because gratitude and praise desires and loves company as well. Look at verse 3. The psalmist says, "For the Lord is a great God and a king and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Who God is must be the foundation and the anchor of our gratitude. Our thanksgiving has to be rooted in who God is. That's why good theology and good thanksgiving go hand in hand. Our thanksgiving, our gratitude must be anchored in who God is. One reason is that never changes, right? If all I'm thankful for are transient things, things that are temporary, I'm thankful for the nice weather, and then tomorrow it's a storm, or I'm thankful for this, and then that thing is gone. If my thanksgiving, and I'm not saying that being thankful for those things, those transient things, is wrong. That's a good thing as well. But it has to go deeper than that. It has to be rooted in the source of our blessings, because the source of our blessings, who God is, never changes. Look at what the psalm says God is. God is king. God is king above all gods. God is in charge. God is the sustainer. God is the one who has the depths and the heights in the palm of his hand. He's the sustainer of all things. The depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains, and even the seas, it says, are in his hand. He's the sustainer of all things, but not just the sustainer. He's the creator of all things. He is the source of all these blessings. So our thanksgiving, our gratitude, our praise needs to be anchored in and rooted in who God is. Because again, the fact that God is king, the sustainer, is creator of these things, that never changes. No matter what. No matter if the sun is shining or not. Whether it's cold outside or whether it's hot. Whether who's in charge in your location of your city, it doesn't matter. These things are always true. God is king. God is sustainer. God is the creator, and that's why our thanksgiving and gratitude and praise must be anchored in the things that do not change. Verse 6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Do you see how gratitude and praise and thanksgiving and worship, they change our posture? Let us kneel. Let us bow down, let us worship, let us fall upon our faces before him, because worshiping God and praising God and gratitude towards God and thanksgiving to God, it changes our perception, not just of God, but it changes our perception of ourselves, because then we see ourselves in relation to God, and it drives us to our knees, not in a bad way. Not in a groveling type way. We see how small we are and how big he is, but shockingly, even at our smallest, it doesn't mean insignificance. What is surprising about our relationship to God, just because we are small in relation to him, doesn't mean that we are insignificant. Surprisingly, in spite of our smallness, we are incredibly significant to God the Father. The psalmist says that we are people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. We are loved. We are protected and provided for. This is what thanksgiving reminds us of. If we spend all of our time focusing on the things that are coming and going and the things that only last a minute, all of these vapors, all of these transient things, and we spend our life on this roller coaster of ups and downs, and we forget what is always true. We forget the source of all these blessings. We forget who is our rock, who is the one that holds the depths of the earth and the heights of the mountains and the seas in his hands. Who is the king above all gods? Who is he? He is the one who says to me and you that we are his sheep, his people. He loves us. If that doesn't surprise you, it should. It should surprise you. It should shock you. When people ask me how I am, I always say that I tell them I'm better than I deserve to be. But that's really true, no matter what. I am so much better than I deserve. I know what I deserve, right? We know what we deserve, and I know it's not God's love. And I know it's not God's blessing to be his sheep, to be his people. Do you know what I've done, God? Do you know what I've done? Do you know who I am? Do you know my struggles and my fears and my doubts? Do you know my sins? And you love me? Yes. Shockingly, yes. This is what Thanksgiving does. It drives our focus. It shapes our sight and our vision so that we are driven to our knees. And we fall to our face and we worship him. And we thank him not because we're so insignificant, but because in his eyes, though we are small, we are so significant. But with this invitation to worship and praise and gratitude and thanksgiving also comes a warning. With worship comes a warning, and this might be shocking. Just as we said last time that it's good to give thanks, it's also bad not to give thanks. There is a warning here that we all need to hear. If there is an invitation that says, come, let us sing, let us praise God. Come, let us shout aloud to the rock of my salvation. There also needs to be a warning that says, what if we don't? What if we don't give thanks? What if we don't focus on God that is the King above all gods? What if we don't give thanks to him? Well, verse 7 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah on the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. If you remember when Israel was taken out of Egypt, when the Exodus began and they were going through the wilderness, they began to get thirsty and they began to complain. And the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 17 that they quarreled with Moses because they wanted water. And the word Massa here in Psalm 95, it means quarrel or quarreling because they had quarreled with Moses. In fact, so much so that they grumbled against him in verse 3, and in verse 4, they were ready to stone him. You brought us out here in the wilderness, Moses. We're all going to die out here. We don't trust you. We don't believe you. And they quarreled with Moses, and they fought with him, and they distrusted his leadership. And so the place that God gave them water, one of the names of that place where Moses struck the rock and water came out was Massa, quarreling. Another name for that place was Meribah, testing, because they tested the Lord, saying, is he with us or not? Is he with us or not? Are you going to take care of us, God? Are you going to give us water? We're thirsty. And the text here, Psalm 95, says, don't be like them. Don't harden your hearts like they did, quarreling, testing. We understand this, don't we? That circumstances can harden our hearts. The wilderness, probably even the slavery for hundreds of years, had hardened the people's hearts. But with this invitation to worship comes this warning, don't harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts like they did and become a quarreling people. A people who put God to the test. Instead of quarreling, instead do what? Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout out loud to the rock of our salvation, because gratitude is good heart medicine. Gratitude is really the only heart medicine. Gratitude is the only thing that keeps us from having a hardened heart. If we don't praise, if we don't worship, if we don't give him thanks, if we don't shout aloud to the rock of our salvation, then our hearts will become hard and we will become a quarreling, grumbling, testing people. These people had been brought out of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. They had seen Egypt brought to its knees. God says, they have seen my works and they didn't believe me. Their hearts were hardened anyway, even though they had seen his works. You think, why is it so bad that they ask for water? They're thirsty. They're in the desert, they're in the wilderness, and they're asking for water. Seems pretty natural. It's not just that they were asking for water. It's because they asked for water in fear. They asked for water in doubt. They asked for water in quarreling. They asked for water in testing. They didn't ask for water in trust. They didn't ask for water in gratitude. They had asked for water with a hard heart. Are you with us or not, God? Are you going to provide us water or not? We're uncomfortable. We don't like this. We don't trust your servant Moses. We don't want to do things your way, And God became sick of it. He tells future generations, don't be like that. Don't let your hearts get hard. Circumstances can harden your heart, but gratitude can soften it. Look at verse 10. This is something I don't think you want God to say about you. For 40 years, I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. God loathed that generation because he had revealed himself to them. He showed them, here is who I am. Here is how much I love you. You are my sheep. You are my people. I love you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bring you to the promised land. And yet they didn't trust him. They quarreled and they complained and they tested God. They didn't know his ways. And it's certainly not because they hadn't seen the miracles, but because they certainly had seen the pillar of fire and the cloud that was leading them by the day. And it certainly wasn't because they didn't see the Red Sea parted, because they had. It was because they didn't know it in their hearts. They didn't trust him. They didn't give him thanks. And the psalmist includes this warning here in this psalm, this invitation to give thanks as a warning to future generations. Don't be like the wilderness generation. Don't be like those quarrelers. Don't be like those complainers. Don't be like those who didn't trust God. Don't harden your hearts. Don't go astray in your heart. Because if you harden your heart, or you go astray in your heart, you won't enter God's rest. But we look at Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. Hebrews 4:11. Wish we could spend time and look at this entire passage, because the Hebrew writer picks up on Psalms 95 that we've been reading. And he's warning the Christians of his generation to not be like that wilderness generation. Hebrews 4:11 says, let us being Christians, therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. The disobedience of the wilderness generation, who didn't trust God, who tested God, who quarreled with Moses. Don't be like that, and instead enter his rest. For the Hebrew writer, it was all about putting your faith in Jesus. That's the way we enter the rest of God. Put your faith in Jesus. But the threat of a hard heart, the threat of a heart that goes astray, is always a present reality. The possibility that your heart might get hard, that our heart might go astray, is something that we always have to be on guard against. Therefore, let us strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. The psalmist warned the people of his generation, don't be like the wilderness generation. The Hebrew writer warns the Christians of his day, don't be like the wilderness generation. Trust God. Don't let your hearts get hard. Don't let your hearts go astray. Don't fall by the same sort of disobedience. What we need to do is what this psalm is encouraging us to do. Come and sing to the Lord. Have gratitude. That's where we're going to land today, this morning. Gratitude is the best heart medicine. Gratitude is the only thing. Trustful thanksgiving is the only thing that keeps us from going astray in our hearts. The only thing that keeps us from having a hard heart is gratitude. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us give thanks. Remember who God is. The depths of the earth and the heights of the mountains and the seas are his. He made them, and it says that we are his people. We are his sheep. Gratitude is the best heart medicine. This past year and a half has given us so many opportunities to harden our hearts. The only medicine for this is gratitude. Faithful, trusting gratitude, where we say, thank you, Father. Thank you. Look at what you have done, and look at what you continue to do. Where we put our trust in Jesus and we enter that rest, so that we don't fall by the same sort of disobedience. If we want to keep our hearts from going astray, if we want to keep ourselves from being that quarreling, arguing, doubtful, disobedient generation, then we have to listen to the invitation of this psalm. Come, let us sing to the Lord. My encouragement today and for the rest of this week and going forward is to take your heart medicine. Anytime those doubts or fears begin creeping in, every time we are tempted to say, God, are you with me or not? Anytime we're tempted to quarrel or, where we're tempted to be like that wilderness generation, let's take our heart medicine. Be grateful. Come, let us sing to the Lord. This is an invitation that's always open to us. We enter God's rest by putting our faith in Jesus. We do that in baptism, but we continue to do that. The Hebrew writer says, let us strive to enter that rest. Every day, let us strive to enter that rest, because the wilderness generation, God said, I loathed that generation, and I swore in my wrath they would not enter my rest. I don't want that to be true of any of us. Let's not be like that. Let's not allow the circumstances to harden our hearts or cause us to go astray in our hearts. Let's take our heart medicine and let our hearts be full of gratitude and praise. We're going to sing a song here in just a second, and as we do, we encourage you to come if there's anything that we can help you with. If you're a Christian and you need the prayers, the encouragement, please come. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, please come. As together we stand and we sing.